Well, thank you so much, Ross. And we'll be back. We'll take phone calls now this hour with our special guest, John J. Harper, on Coast to Coast AM. Well, they're lining up to talk with you, John, but you had mentioned something last hour, which I didn't have a chance to elaborate on with you, but you talked a little bit about stress. And is it not true now that the medical world is beginning to say that stress is devastating on people's health?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And when we take this metaphor of tuning the diamonds within us, the DNA crystals, and releasing the tension on those life-giving proteins that create our physical body, we really need to see what we're doing to one another when we get into situations that bring that stress upon us. For example, if we're working in jobs we just hate, hey, think about that. What are you doing? What are you doing to yourself and your cells when you experience road rage? And who hasn't at some point in time? You need to realize that you're destroying your immune system. And this can become extremely important, George, when these solar changes hit. We know that solar cycles trigger pandemics like flus. And this is going to, in my opinion, be more of a problem to the world population than all the Earth changes combined. And I know what I'm saying. That is saying a lot, that there's going to be tremendous fatalities from stress-related diseases.
Why is it, John, that when people take a deep breath, a sigh, they feel better?
They're getting more light into their system. In other words, air, oxygen, combustion, light. You're pulling in at just a tremendous beam of sunlight, or moonlight in this case, into our lungs. And that's being converted in the body through an iron-rich bloodstream into energy. And so we're these huge electromagnetic liquid crystal beings, light beings, that need more light and more energy. And when we stress ourselves, we are absolutely throwing our life force energy away.
Let's go to the phones because they're lining up for you, sir. First-time caller line, you're on the air with John Harper. John J. Harper. Hi there.
Hello. How are you
this
morning?
Yeah, we are fine. Thanks. Go ahead.
Great. Boy, I'm surprised at you that you couldn't help that earlier caller.
Which one?
The one with insomnia.
Oh, that you mean from 3 hours ago?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
But, yeah, that's not really what I called. But, yeah, how about podcast or spring link for him?
Yeah, I didn't want to sound too commercial, but go ahead. Well, you've got John. Take advantage of it.
Mr. Harper.
Yes.
My question for you is the situation that I'm in. Oh, by the way, I'm calling from Eerie, Oregon, and I'm the shaman quester.
Very good.
I've taken a vow of poverty, and most of the people that I know are in similar situations with similar thought trains. How can people like us learn more without having to spend a lot of money or travel, because most of us don't have the wherewithal to do that kind of thing?
Well, I mean, you know, we are at the most optimal time in our recent history to earn a living exactly where we're at, through the internet. And what I mean, for example, is turn on the creativity, my friend. I mean, there must be a dozen things in your local area that need to be done better. Look at ways to do things more efficiently. Again, this is part of the reason that trance is so important. Remember when you have a creative moment, that aha, that breakthrough, that is a moment usually of stillness. There's something within us that's always trying to resolve itself. There's a problem that needs our imprint on it. So that's my advice, is to think about being creative and use the internet to market your ideas.
Why did you take a vow of poverty?
Well, because I really believe that money is the root of all evil.
Well, you might be right
about
that.
Well, the absence is, have you ever seen a millionaire rob a liquor store?
No, he pays somebody to do that, John.
Else he gets a hold of.
He's right there, John. Not all of them, but in some cases.
Yeah, I understand. You're talking about the the accumulation, the hoarding of wealth that was begotten illegally or done corruptly through manipulation and control of other human beings, turn them basically into slaves. I understand what you're saying, but I would share with you an idea that maybe you've taken this vow of poverty because you're still afraid of mixing it up in the marketplace. In other words, a lot of us have lost our lives from stepping forward with ideas at the wrong point in time. But remember, when an idea's time has come, nothing can stop it.
Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with John J. Harper on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Yeah, this is James. I'm in Phoenix.
Okay, James.
Hi. Yeah, I've been a shamanic apprentice for 17 years. I'm also a student of Qigong. And I hear this gentleman you have on the radio, he's very astute. And what's really blowing my mind is that these techniques, that these things that he's realizing through science are taught in these mystery schools. And if a person is an ardent student of these for quite a number of years, they come to these realizations of all these things that you're talking about. For instance, he earlier mentioned that the scientists are using these devices to read the antennas of bugs. And for instance, we have these antennas within our aura, and a perfect example is you're driving down the highway and you see someone and they look at you, or you look at them, and all of a sudden they're looking at you. We have these same antennas in our auras, and shamanically this is how people have learned to use herbs. They've learned to use what they can eat if in survival situations, heal themselves, all kinds of different things. And excuse me, I'm getting a little winded here. But anyway, it's so many of these techniques are taught, and if there could just be a bridge between the people with great minds like Mr. Harper to go into these ancient mystery schools and spend some time in there, the bridge is just enormous, and I'd just like to hear what he has to say about that.
Okay, and let me ask you this, too. You said you're an apprentice for 17 years. How long do you have to do this before you're no longer an apprentice?
Well, it's like this. It's like if you're looking at personal evolution, as you learn things, you think you have it, and then you think a few months later you have more realizations. And as you gain these realizations, you realize it's just an endless continuum, which is actually exciting and invigorating, but it's also frustrating at the same time.
All right, John, do you want to react to any of this?
Yes, absolutely. And this is a very astute caller, I might add. In fact, I had to read, I would say, about 1,000 documents to finally produce my manuscript and my book. I wrote it, rewrote it maybe 5 times or more, just because of what you're saying, that those revelations of information would link in new ways, and I would start connecting the dots to the ancient mystery schools. In fact, my nonprofit corporation, American Delphi Academy, is so named because Delphi in Greece was the temple where the oracle would sit, and the leaders of the community would come and say, what is going to happen? What are we going to win that battle? Who's getting ready to attack us? But it's shamanic work across every culture. Those are the wisdom keepers, the traditional folks who probably had a near-death experience or some type of crack-up, as we'd say, that allowed them to see multidimensionally, at least for a short period of time. They realized that they had more control over their lives if they had more information. So again, your frustration will lead you to a revelation. Once you get most of your answers to the problems and the questions you're seeking, you will find the peace that you're looking for.
Ironically, Sean David Morton, a remote viewer, intuitive remote viewer, his organization is called the Delphi Associates.
Very interesting.
East of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast with John J. Harper. Hi there. Hello?
Hello.
Yep, it's all you. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. My name is Tim from Tampa Bay, and I had an idea about the happening in 2012.
All right.
Let's say, for example, that the Mayans perceived themselves as custodians of it, as it was, of time as a static concept, okay? Now, you just happened to mention earlier that an Israeli scientist felt that in the near future we would be able to go into the past, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Let's say that sometime between now and then, 2012, this particular means of time travel becomes perfected. And they travel back in time to the Mayan people. And they say, who are you? And he said, and this time traveler would say, well, I'm from your future. So they would say, well, what year exactly? And he would explain, I'm from the equivalent of, you know, of your in your years, I'm from the equivalent 2012 AD. Now, this could sort of really knock them back on their heels, because they would no longer see time as a static concept. So time as they perceived it, now in view of actual time travel, time itself would become kind of irrelevant and not worth documenting on a calendar.
Interesting analogy.
Well, it's a little less stressful than the ones that Dr. Harper was proposing.
What do you mean less stressful?
Well, we all have fear of the unknown, so we're looking forward with some sort of negative anxiety about what's going to happen in 2012. But if we just realize it as, if we just look at it as the possible age, the beginning of time travel, that would eliminate some of the negative anticipation, you know, instead of an asteroid collision or something.
Right, or the sun blasting us away. What do you think, John?
Well, I certainly like the optimism here. That's marvelous. I'm not sure the facts on the ground are going to match with our optimistic perspective. We've got a lot of things coming down from a lot of different angles, but I'm here to be a problem solver myself. But I believe that we do this with three eyes wide open, and, you know, we need to foresee what's coming so we can take, you know, corrective action. But we also need to remember that the shaman is someone who, you know, protects his flock, is someone who's saying, hey, I see what's coming over the ridge, and duck. Okay, so, you know, or what good is seeing the future if you don't do anything about it?
Based on your gut instincts about the future, you feel as if we're going to come through this?
Many of us are, a whole lot of us are not. And again, pandemics, stress-related events are going, for example, the economy, let's say it does go not in a recession, but depression. Let's say that we have a bird flu pandemic and we have a lot of unemployment. We've got a lot of homeless. We've got a lot of people under stress. What do you think it will take to decimate our population if in addition we have flooding, in addition we have earthquakes, in addition we have tremendous global warming, global cooling, an oscillation of the weather system between extremes? No utilities, electricity out, gas out. What do we think is going to happen to the population that is under extreme stress in a pandemic, for example?
Good point. Wildcard line, you're on with John J. Harper. Hi there.
Hello.
Yep, go ahead.
Hi, George and John. My name is Raymond from Berea, Ohio.
Sure.
And I have three quick questions. I'm studying Taoism and Qigong as well as the other caller. And first of all, you're basically talking about the same fundamentals as Taoism, as far as oneness and universal energy. The second was, I missed what the technique you were talking about was using and why people with bipolar shouldn't, because I have bipolar and PTSD and ADD, and I'll tell you, it's next to impossible to empty my mind or, you know, quiet the background noise to reach what the Chinese call the void or the original consciousness.
Yes, so beginner's mind.
Right, and I don't think I'll ever be able to reach what they call enlightenment or the inner workings of the universe and the light of God. So those are the three questions.
Well, I mean, you are working on it. First of all, you have an awareness that there's a goal. Second, you're optimistic or you wouldn't be working on it. Third, I encourage you to continue doing what you're doing and the answers will open up. I know I come, by the way, from a bipolar family. My mother, who passed away here in her 80s, suffered from manic phases most of her life, was medicated because of it. My grandmother also, very loving, compassionate people, by the way. I know that some of that genetic strain has given me the creative mind and the ability to cope with it. It's been a tough road for me, myself. I have a lot of that kind of dysfunction in my family, but I can tell you there is a new day dawning. You will find the peace that goes beyond understanding. You can just keep on doing what you're doing and relax more and more into this new consciousness that's emerging.
Are you a go ahead. You're still with us.
I was just wondering if you are aware of the Taoist, it's the same fundamentals.
Absolutely. The Taoism, or like you say, the spin-offs, the practical feng shui and the qigong type Chinese medical model is absolutely correct. It's the cycle that we're talking about, whether you're talking about four ages that go from iron to golden or dark ages to light ages, you're talking about the Dai Qi symbol, you're talking about light and dark intermixing with one another in a cyclic event. We know that time and space, for example, that's the same concept. Time is cyclic to the ancients, to the Mayans, for example. That's why the end of time, the Alpha and Omega are coming together at a single point in space, for example, which is the Earth. So yes, these are all valid ways of looking at what I'm saying.
John, you know, getting back to that analogy of the woman with the dress and how we go about telling her
we're
that...
still picking on her, are we, George?
Yeah, we are. We are. Other people are simply saying, and I'm getting emails, simply take her shopping and buy her a dress.
Give her your credit card. Yes.
And don't tell her what she's wearing isn't any good. But
there's another creative bunch. Yes, I agree. Yeah, there's all kinds of solutions to this.
Well, the bottom line here is I think people who are more enlightened are generally happier people. You know, they are more apt to accept life the way it is and to make it better, I think.
I think you're absolutely correct. And for me, speaking from my perspective now, when you really know at the deepest level that there is no death, for example, let's talk about, you know, for just a second, use the near-death experiencers as an example. One of the things that I was almost infected with by talking with folks like Mel and Thomas Benedict in person or Daniel Brinkley, et cetera, these people are fearless. Now, that doesn't mean that they take risks, but some of them do. I mean, you know, Mel and Thomas, for example, I mean, this kid was a skydiver when he was in high school, you know, and his dad was a Green Beret, for example, two tours of Vietnam. I mean, these folks, Daniel Brinkley, you know, his background, very colorful. But, you know, one of the things, they are fearless, and that fearlessness is what I'm also about, too, in the sense that, you know, once you really get it, that you don't die, what is there to fear?
We'll be back in a moment. Final phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. Well, on our next Coast to Coast program, Michel Bélanger joins us. We're talking about vampires, so get ready for that one. Hey, John, before we get into these final calls, I want to just thank you for an enlightening evening tonight. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, George. It's been my deep pleasure.
What's on your plate next? What are some of your future projects?
Well, I'm involved in a new community in Tennessee called the Village on Suwanee Creek, which is going to be a creative community of artists and writers and et cetera, creative folks. And Grant Miller is a former board of directors with Papa John's Pizza and 7-Eleven and Baskin Robbins and all those good places. He's retired early and is developing a thing on a village on Suwanee Creek up in the Cumberland Mountains of Tennessee. And I'm going to be spending my time between Spokane and there and then in Seattle. I just got a sailboat. My son's an engineer. My young kid is out there desperate for a place to live, so I just bought him a sailboat, put it in Lake Union, going to go visit that this weekend. So I hope to visit folks in the bookstores around the Seattle area soon, too.
Have you ever sailed before?
You know, I'm a retired Navy guy, and I'm telling you, I've never been on anything smaller than an aircraft carrier. So,
I used to do, I had a little 22-footer going up and down the Mississippi until one day I ran it aground.
That's an experience.
How about that for a retired Navy guy? You know,
I love it.
And a couple of kids came and pulled me away. Let's go east of the Rockies. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi.
Yes, sir.
Steve from Jersey.
Hey, Stephen.
Hi. You're talking about the sun changes and such. I took a course with Energy Matrix, I believe, with Richard Bartlett, and went ahead 4 years. And I took a look, you know, in time, the exercise.
Yeah.
And I looked up at the sun. I saw the sun with the moon on the right. And on the left of the sun, this is in the daytime, it's very hazy out, very humid. And on the left of the sun, there was another sun, it looked like, coming towards us. At that point, I felt like I was shrinking back into myself when I got out of there. But it was quite scary, and I can't seem to forget that. But that was 4 years, and about June 2011.
That's a fascinating story.
Yeah, that's what I had to say.
All right, sir. Thanks for sharing that with us. International caller, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, James from Alberta, Canada, calling.
Sure, James.
Hi. In 2005, when the government released a classified document from Operation Northwoods, they had shown that they had set the precedent that, yes, they will commit terror against their own citizens. Now, I'm wondering if this, all these feelings that we're feeling are basically leading towards another 9/11 false flag terror attack that could be coming against us quite shortly because, you know, as I believe, 9/11 was an inside job. Evidence is there. And they're getting ready to attack Iran. They want a reason to do it, and they're going to kill a whole lot of us. And I think that's what we're feeling right now. Thoughts from the guest on that?
John, go ahead.
I'm not really tuned into that. I'm very familiar with what you're saying. I do understand the background to your comments, but I'm really not tuned into that. I'm not adverse to it. It's just that that's not what I'm picking up, to be honest.
All right, next up, let's go west of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hi, my name is Richard, and I'm calling from Sonora, California.
Hi, Richard.
I have a healthy respect, a reverent respect for your guest. One name that keeps popping into my mind listening to you talk is Edgar Cayce. Edgar Cayce was just a man, but he was able to tap into something I don't know, in a trance, and help a lot of people. And it sort of goes in line with what Mr. Harper has been saying. That's all I have to say. Listen to your comments offline.
Well, there's no doubt that Edgar Cayce had an incredible ability, specifically with his health-related readings. But, you know, also his futuristic readings as well. I guess you could call Edgar Cayce, John J. Harper, a futurist as well, huh?
Absolutely, and I'm quite convinced that he was like a role model for where we're going in the future for all of us.
Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're up with John J. Harper. Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
Good, we're well.
My name's Jack. I'm calling from Orlando, Florida. Just had a really interesting experience over the weekend. I wanted to get your guest thoughts on it on a smaller level of like consciousness. My wife and I were all set to go out on Saturday night, and we were both overwhelmed by this really bad feeling. And it created this weird tension between us before we went out. But once we got past it, we both were like, yeah, we have a bad feeling about going out. And we stayed home, had a fantastic time just hanging out at home by ourselves. But I can't shake the feeling that somehow we avoided something tragic. And I've always had this sense about me, but I've never been able to really tap into it. And I wanted to get your guest thoughts on, you know, on that small level of personal consciousness and how to tap into that. I'll listen to you. Thanks.
Sure thing. Take it away, John.
Well, you know, the first thing that comes to a person who has these types of experiences is this tendency to filter them out and not pay attention to them. What I've learned over years and years of working with these insights, and by the way, I do get premonitions, and I especially know when someone's getting ready to pass over to the other side, for example. I've told family and friends of people that were getting ready to die, you know, maybe a week in advance. And one of the things is, can you use the information? And it sounds like you did, so congratulations. You probably did avoid some very distasteful event, in my opinion. Number two, what you need to do, though, is always remember that all this stuff comes up all the time if you're sensitive to it. So you really need to be discerning. You know, I don't react on everything, but I process it, allow it to come up, and I always go, now what does that mean? And who does it mean? You know, what does it mean for those around me, for example? It may not be about me at all, and usually is not.
Very well put, John. West of the Rockies, your turn. You're on Coast to Coast with us.
Hey,
hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Spokane.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello. Question. I have schizophrenia, which, you know, you have trouble differentiating from reality and what's not, unless you're stabilized, right?
Yes.
I wanted your opinion on why there's good and bad when we know that good is good.
Well, you know, what we're talking about is the integration of thoughts and feelings. So you can get, you know, runaway emotions that can, you know, shipwreck you as well as thoughts. And so when you integrate your head and your heart, so to speak, you realize that you need to center that information and process it through the body. And so that's what we're doing here. I mean, this is what the body is. It's a stabilized, somewhat stabilized, light form, standing wave of energy, we'd say in physics. And it's made of energy. It's made of information. It's made of language, right? It's coming from DNA. So your past lives, your history, and you have them, believe me, you're processing stuff right now because that's the only way to do it. Like a yogi was asked by his disciple, he said, you know, Master, you know, if we're all, you know, children of God, and, you know, love is the essence of the universe, what am I doing here again? And the yogi very lovingly said, you're reincarnating your neuroses so you can work on them.
Well, I'm just wondering why there's bad at all when we know good is good, but I can get off the air and be more sensitive. I appreciate listening to your show. It's a great show.
All right. Thank you, Tammy. I think, unfortunately, John, that if you have good, you must have bad, that there's balance in the universe, and that's just the way it is.
Well, yeah, in fact, what are we talking about when we're talking about bad? If we really dissect that for a moment, we're talking about self-centered, selfish behavior, actions that harm ourselves and others, and good is, you know, doing unto others as we would have others do unto us.
Good point. Let's go next. East of the Rockies, you're on with John J. Harper on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, good morning, George. John, how are you? This is Harper in Omaha.
Okay.
The prior call was a perfect segue into my question of synchronicity and stillness being one and the same. Let's say great egos that get themselves into trouble versus a person who is still and less the vibrations, if ether, seep in and bring them the Sartori. And that, you know, and as the lady caller before asked about good is good and evil is evil, that evil is not so much a quality, but being away from being the receptacle because you're moving too fast, but because of your ego.
You want to react to that, John?
Well, the ego is simply your sense of self, of course, and if you realize that you're a part of a greater self, then you look at everyone as your brother and sister, and, you know, you do accordingly if that is your intention to do so. Of course, we have great problems within families, and we try to process this stuff out of us through reincarnation. That's what it's all about.
I agree, and when the ego puts itself above the unity of a whole, then it takes itself out of the network.
That's right.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate you being part of the program. Next up, Wild Card Line, you're on with John Harper. Hi there.
Hi there. I think that would be me.
It would be you.
I am Sandra from Houston, Texas. Hi, Mr. Harper.
Good evening. Good morning to you, I guess. Yeah.
I have so many questions, but I guess I'm limited to only one. One of the things that always astounds me is the measure of energy. If there is no measure of good and bad, it's all a spectrum of light and energy. Why would there be a good or bad?
Well, because it's out of balance. I mean, you know, the same electricity that can cook your breakfast can cook a human being in an electric chair, to use a real extreme example. So, I mean, you know, some of us use fire to cook with, some of us are burned with it.
Okay, got it. Okay, now my real question, the reason I called is because there is so much. I mean, the market is just out there. You can become saturated with a place to turn with your experiences and learning and so forth. You were talking tonight about I didn't hear too much about neutrality, the neutral place where we all can go. But, I mean, do you, what do you suggest to someone who has just never really come out of the closet and discussed her near-death experiences or her contact with angels or other beings? Or what do you suggest to a person like that, which I suspect there's many of us out here? Where does a person like that go for learning, for other than following spirit and meditation and prayer? Is there like a place a beginner can begin?
Well, you know, if I can avoid sounding self-serving for a moment, and I don't think I can, but, you know, I wrote my book for folks like you.
Okay.
I wrote my book, spent about 15 years of my adult life, read 1,000 documents, and as well as pursued out in the world, finding folks that have had near-death experiences, had seen angels, etc. But it's an integration of science and spirit. And, yeah. And my whole motivation was that other folks do not go through what I went through, and that was the confusion and the misunderstanding that this information can generate if you don't have the whole picture, the big picture, and you go off, you know, as we say, half-cocked, and, you know, you can really hurt somebody with this stuff. And so I waited patiently until I felt I really had a pretty good handle on it before I opened up with it. So I can relate to your concern. But.
Okay, so, Mr. Harper, my final question would be, and it is on a personal level, is there a period of isolation? Did you personally go through a period of isolation because you didn't know what to do?
Absolutely. It's called the dark night of the soul, and that's when you need to be still and to trust that there's an end goal, there's an end to that suffering, there's an end to that confusion, and that you will break into the new light, the new consciousness, and it is here. I'm telling you that I'm in there, you know, and so many of us are now. We're in there rooting for those who are going to come after us, and, you know, this is what it's about, is sharing this information.
Why are people who are enlightened into this consciousness realm a little more spiritual, or they believe in a divine creator?
Because that's what this information, this energy, this subtle energy feels like. It's a sense of expansiveness. It's an openness. It's a feeling of safety. And again, that's what I've shared in my book, that, you know, folks for centuries have gone through these experiences. This ain't nothing new, folks. What we need to do is open up, share our story, and come into the light together, hold hands, and walk out of hell together, as Mellon Thomas Benedict puts it.
All right, let's take a few more calls, then we're wrapping it up. Wild Card Line, you're on with John Harper on Coast to Coast. Hi there. Hello?
Hello, is this the Wild Card?
Sir, it's the Wild Card, and I believe it's you. Go ahead.
This is from McKaysville, Georgia. I'm Ray, and I saw an orb. A neighbor of mine saw it first, and I told them that it was ball lightning, because it whirred around their body and their head, and I brushed it off as ball lightning to them. But a month later, I was in my house, and I had this large window in my living room, and it came, and I was sitting down in my living room, and then lo and behold, it went across my window, and I quick ran out of my living room to see it go west across my living room, and it was brilliant, brilliant ball of light, and it just changed my whole thinking when I saw it. And people have got to believe that there's more going on than we know, because this was, just unbelievable. And that's the experience I have. I this is the first time I've ever tried to explain this to anybody. I've held this in, and this is the first time I've ever talked about this. And
was it a small ball of light, Ray?
It was the size of a basketball. It was the size of a basketball. It was brilliant, 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 a very brilliant a ball, and it was held intact. It did not leave any trail. I thought it was going to crash, and explode. I should tell you that I read a lot about physics. I know about physics. I've been an amateur astronomer since I've been very young, so I know quite a bit about what's in the sky and all this. And I tell you, this changed my whole perception about everything. I can't place this anywhere in between, astronomical. I can't place it anywhere.
You've got to just chalk it up to the unexplained, the supernatural, the paranormal, and that's exactly what it is. John J. Harper, we are out of time, my friend, but again, thank you for an enlightening evening, John.
Thank you, George. It's been my pleasure, and good night all. I love you.
For Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Audisor, Ross Mitchell, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. I'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.